This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of revised general national pollutant discharge elimination system permit for low-threat discharges to surface waters in the North Coast Region. This item has been properly noticed. Sheet explaining the procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
We'll begin with
Mr. Chair.
Kathy Goodman.
I just wanted to acknowledge that I asked Kathy in putting this presentation together, thinking it was going to be much later in the day, to keep it quite brief, since we only received four comments on it. So I think Kathy's prepared to answer questions, but be aware that it is a somewhat shorter presentation than we would normally do, just thinking it was going to be later in the day.
During lunch, I did add a couple of slides back in to try to, you know, address some of the questions that came up during the prior hearing. So I did add them in because I wasn't quite sure what to do.
Okay, go ahead.
So we're ready. So good afternoon, Chairman Anderson and members of the board. I am Kathy Goodwin, staff engineer to the regional board. And the item for your consideration this afternoon is consideration of a general NPDES permit to cover low-threat discharges to surface waters in the North Coast region. And like our individual permits, this general permit has a five-year term, so it needs to come back to you again in 5 years to adjust based on our experience with the permit and, you know, to update it with regard to current regulations. You have a hearing package before you that includes the staff report, the permit document, the response to comments document, letters received, and the public notice. I believe you were also given a single sheet that is a late revisions document, and I plan to discuss that briefly at the end of my presentation. And at this time, I would like to enter the file into the record. So during my presentation, I'd like to give you an overview of the existing order, order number 93-61. By the number, you can tell it's quite old. I'll give you a slightly more detailed overview of the proposed permit, and then I'll discuss comments received and our responses to those comments. So currently, staff uses a very old permit to provide coverage for low-threat discharges. The existing permit is outdated in regard to existing regulations, and it also applies to a narrow subset of low-threat discharges. Specifically, the current permit applies to discharges of groundwater, to surface water related to construction and subsurface seepage dewatering activities. The application process in that permit is not well defined. It simply says submit a Form 200, and you know, with that we can get anywhere from just a tiny bit of information to the amount that we might need to actually approve an application. The proposed low-threat general permit provides a streamlined permitting process to regulate discharges of low-threat wastewaters to surface waters in our region, and this would include ocean and inland waters as well as enclosed bays and estuaries. And upon adoption, this new order would replace the existing order number 93-61. The proposed low-threat permit applies to a broader range of low-threat discharges than the existing permit. And as Holly mentioned this morning, this might include things such as discharges from water supply tanks and reservoirs, groundwater discharge from well development activities, as well as the construction dewatering that's covered under the current permit. The proposed permit contains provisions to ensure protection of surface waters that receive the discharge. For example, the permit requires that water quality objectives be met at the end of pipe to ensure protection of the receiving water. It also prohibits the creation of pollution and nuisance conditions such as vector or algae problems or localized flooding. The proposed permit acknowledges the basin plan point source discharge prohibitions and will provide a mechanism for the executive officer to grant exceptions to the prohibitions once the basin plan amendment is fully approved. And after today's hearing, you know, it still needs to go through OAL and US EPA, but once that process is done, then the permit does give the executive officer that authority to grant the exceptions. I'd also like to point out that this proposed low-threat permit is consistent with other low-threat permits that have been adopted in recent years by other regional boards throughout the state. And here's a couple of slides that I added in at lunchtime, so you won't see these in your package. Just to address some of the things that came up this morning, I thought I would just talk very briefly about some of the key elements in the proposed permit. It starts with a detailed application that each applicant would need to submit. And in that application, of course, it's a notice of intent that's actually part of the permit. So it asks for the very specific information that staff would need in order to determine, is the proposed discharge actually low threat, and is it appropriate for coverage under the permit? So to that end, we ask for a complete characterization of the wastewater, a description of treatment and BMPs that would be applied to ensure that the surface water that receives the discharge is protected. One of the commenters this morning was concerned about discharges of well development water, and she was concerned about sediment and arsenic. And the permit would explicitly require that the discharge receive treatment to remove sediment, and also the characterization, if it showed arsenic in the wastewater that would be proposed for discharge, they would only get approval if the discharge contained pollutants that are lower than any water quality objective that is in place to protect aquatic life and human health. So again, the permit requires submittal of a best management practices plan that demonstrates that the discharge will not create pollution while it's being discharged. So we're concerned about things such as it can causing erosion at the point of discharge or in the receiving water, the possibility of localized flooding or vector conditions, and all of these things would need to be addressed in the BMP plan. And this last bullet on this slide is common to both the existing permit and the proposed permit, and that is that each discharger would need to evaluate disposal alternatives that would avoid or minimize the volume of water that would be discharged to surface waters. And in the time that I've been handling low threat requests, I have in the last year and a half received 13 requests for coverage under our existing permit. And of those 13, only three of them have actually gotten permit coverage. The other 10 were able to find alternatives, ranging from discharge to sanitary sewer, to land discharge, and then others have been able to do a combination of the three that I actually did enroll under the existing permit. I believe that two of the three were able to do a combination of sewer discharge, and then they only discharged to surface waters what the local sewer could not handle. So I think that covers that point. And then this is just a few more elements of the proposed permit. each applicant, once we've determined that a discharge qualifies as low threat, will be subject to a 30-day public notice period. So we will be noticing these on our website, and other agencies and members of the public will have an opportunity to review these and comment on them. For projects such as the well development projects where groundwater is proposed for discharge, the applicant needs to evaluate whether there are any known groundwater contamination sites nearby, and demonstrate that their project will not draw in pollutants from a known contamination site. And then finally, each project will require monitoring and reporting. And I know you asked John a question just a little bit ago about longer-term projects. And not only would they be limited, you know, they'd have to come back and submit a new NOI every 5 years if we were talking about a long-term dewatering project. But the new permit also requires, for long-term discharges, an annual report would also be required to assess the prior year's operations and make adjustments, the adaptive management process, if you will. So the permit went out for a 30-day comment period, and during that time, we received comments from 5 commenters, and they're all listed on this slide. And in parentheses, I've indicated how many comments each commenter had. In the interest of time, I'm just going to focus on the comment that I've got up here under City of Santa Rosa. They had requested that water quality objectives be applied in the receiving water rather than at end of pipe. Due to the broad nature of this permit, the determination of low threat must be clear-cut. The staff believes that the clearest way to make this demonstration is by applying water quality objectives at end of pipe, except for those that are in the basin plan as receiving water objectives, such as temperature, DO, et cetera. And then there were 2 comments that actually did result in changes to the permit. One asked for clarification between the proposed low threat permit and MS4 permits, so we explained that better in the fact sheet. And then the other one asked for some flexibility in the monitoring and reporting program, recognizing that there's just a full range of sizes and types of projects. So we have a standard monitoring program that can be modified for cause, you know, that must be demonstrated at the time that the permittee applies for coverage under the permit. And then you have a late revision sheet. Staff is proposing a few late revisions to the proposed permit, and these are all very minor, but improve the permit by providing clarity. The third bullet, the last bullet up here, actually makes a correction in that chlorine residual monitoring was shown as being grab sample only, but chlorine residual monitoring is typically, in a case like this, done as field monitoring, so we recognize that both methods could be proposed. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And otherwise, our recommendation would be to open the hearing for public comment and then adopt the proposed order with the changes shown in the late revisions document.
Thank you, Kathy. Any board member questions? Mr. Massey?
A couple questions, Kathy. Excuse me. You mentioned that under the proposed permit that the EO would have the ability to make exceptions and exemptions. What do we have in the current permit?
The current permit does not even acknowledge the basin plan prohibitions. So under the current permit, that, you know, is not explicitly allowed. And currently, we don't use that permit for discharge. If somebody comes to us and asks to discharge during the discharge prohibition season, we tell them that that's not something we can do, that the permit is only usable for discharges during the period of October 1 through May 14th.
Okay, and the other one, how do you write a permit for something you haven't seen in the form of a well? You don't know what's in there, so at least my experience with well drilling is that you drill a well, and it isn't until you've actually got the water coming out that you know what you have. How do you write a permit in advance for that process?
Well, the permit... Each applicant does have to submit a characterization of the water. So before, obviously when they develop a well, they're going to generate a large volume of water. In order to get the samples, the few dischargers I've worked with so far have either discharged into the sanitary sewer, you know, to kind of remove a full well volume to get a representative sample, and then they wait for the sample results to come back to know if they're going to get permission to discharge to surface waters. And if a sanitary sewer is not available, actually, I believe that in Sebastopol's case, they had some big Baker tanks on site, and they actually put the water in the Baker tanks until they had their analytical results back.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you're going to get an analytical sample first, then you're going to go for a permit, and then you're going to decide whether you're going to discharge this.
That's basically how it's been working.
Okay, thank you.
You had made the point that in a year and a half you've seen 13 and some small percentage or a fraction of that actually ended up discharging. What do you anticipate? I mean, is this expansion of the program and you'll see a lot more than 13, or you expect to see about the same going forward?
I don't. It's hard to say, but I would anticipate that we're not going to see a lot more requests than we're seeing now. One of the things I've experienced is that as people come to us and ask, you know, inquire about coverage under the permit, you know, when I talk to them about the need to look for alternatives, and especially right now the need to, that they're limited to the discharge, the discharge season under the basin plan, I think people know that we're really ramping up on, you know, really minimizing these discharges. And whereas in the past people would go, oh, there's no way I can find a land discharge or something like that, we've seen people get more creative or more determined, I should say, and in working with nearby landowners or finding ways to access a sanitary sewer. The water agency had a project out on the east side of town and on the bank of, I guess it would be Spring Lake, and it was a well that they wanted to rehabilitate, and at first they thought they had no alternative but to discharge. Then they found a way to run the pipeline through the storm drain to get to a manhole on the other side of Summerfield Road, I think it was, you know, and at first they thought that was inaccessible to them. So people are looking more seriously at the need to find alternatives, and they're doing a good job of working with landowners and the local sanitary sewer agencies to get that done.
And you'd made the point that the existing order 93-61 has been around a long time. How many projects are current or active under that?
Current or active? I believe there's just one that I know of, that I can think of.
Is that so? saw that they needed to submit a completed NOI within 30 days. So it, if it's only one, that's a small number. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Then we'll... Chair does not have in front of him any cards of speakers. Whether or not we have any speakers. We have Dr. Smith in the house, so, you know, I expect... If I say, though I don't have any cards, it would constitute the last card. So, anyone from the public to address item 11? All right. Back to the board. I had the Kathy or staff question. What's the filing fee?
Currently, the filing fee that's established, you know, under state regs is, well, it comes to $1,452. It starts with a base fee, and then it's got the swamp monitoring fee of 21% on top of that. So that's what it comes up to.
And that's an annual, as you said, or?
That would be an annual fee.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll make a motion. We adopt order R1-2009-0045 as proposed.
All right. The board has in front of it a motion to adopt. I'm going to go back to one last call, having seen a public official walk in here that may be interested in this item. Mr. Burt, do you care to make comment on item 11? If you, all right. Very good. We have motion, discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Item 12, Executive Officer.